Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your guest host, Greg Jackson, sitting here with Jefferson City beat writer Anderson Kimball. And before he and I talk about last week's win against Battle and this week's regular season finale for the Jays, let's listen to a little bit of his conversation with Jays head coach Damon Wells.
I guess kind of just to start after kind of having the weekend to process and looking at film, how big was that win, that comeback win last weekend for your team?
I think that no matter how bad you think you are when you watch film, you probably weren't quite as bad as you thought you were. And no matter how good you think you are, when you watch film, you're not quite as good as you think you are. So I believe that watching video, especially with the kids, kind of brings you back to neutral all the time. We're definitely not as good in some areas as we want to be or that we will be. But we also are making a heck of a lot of progress in some other areas.
Yeah, and then I guess kind of also looking ahead, I know that you've kind of got one last regular season opponent this week. What, I guess, is your kind of focus for this week then?
Just keep on, again, keep the climb. Keep making progress. Keep taking positive steps forward. When we began this season, we certainly didn't say by the end of week 8 we want to be a finished product. You know, we practice to get better. We practice to get better at our craft, with our relationships. So we have room to grow in all of those areas.
That was Jefferson City head coach Damon Wells. And Anderson, let's take a quick look back. Hey, big week. It was a huge win for Jefferson City. A big 55-52 come from behind in the final minute or two road win against Battle. It's their first time beating Battle since 2018. You were there for all the excitement. What Jefferson City has done this year, how much of an impact can a win like this have for this program?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that Damon Wells was kind of saying was they've, kind of early this season, they've been on either side of kind of blowout games. They've, you know, blown out teams like Hickman and Smith Cotton, and then they've been on the other side of that against Colias and other of kind of the top state-ranked teams they've played. And the biggest thing was this was kind of the only game where they really had a lot of adversity at the end of the game and were able to kind of still be able to win. A lot of times they would kind of get down and they would kind of fold over a little bit. But I mean, this game, that wasn't the case. They were up a lot early and they gave up that lead, and it was kind of an improbable comeback by Battle, but it was just tough that the Jays were kind of able to sell themselves, get that big drive at the end, and just able to kind of give some confidence that, like, no matter what can kind of be thrown at that offense, it's still kind of been able to function pretty much every week except for the game against Elias this season.
To me, yes, beating Battle is big not only for potential postseason implications. Yeah. I mean, you're going to get the bonus points, but the win makes a big difference. The one thing, when you take a look, because this game wrapped up the conference play for the Jays, who they finished 4-2 in CMAC play. The way I look at the CMAC standings is they had to find a way to not do a repeat of last year. So the way I've always seen the CMAC is you have three tiers. You have, I mean, Hawaii's back-to-back conference champs, and Battle and Rockbridge are obviously up there with them. The bottom tier is your Capital City, your Smith Cotton, your Hickman. And the third tier, which is just one team, the middle tier, has been Jefferson City. Yeah. Because last year they lost to all three teams in the top tier, but they beat all three teams in the bottom tier.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the case anymore. This win clinches, got them a tie for second place, and it puts them in that top tier. There are only two tiers now. So as in regards to a conference, I know conference play is over now, but moving forward under year one under Damon Wells, how much of an impact do you think a win like last Friday's could have, particularly the fact that it was on the road?
Yeah, I mean, it's really big, especially I think, kind of talk about getting experience, and that's a young defense, and be able to kind of get that stop at the end of the game like that. I mean, they had turnovers early in the game, but then Battle kind of settled down and kind of figured them out and were able to score points kind of at will, and then they kind of hung tough there on that last possession, and I mean, that's going to kind of be key for them. And also just with this team to be like, hey, like, we're not a middle tier. As you said, not a middle tier senior. So, like, we can compete with some of these top schools in mid-Missouri. I mean, no way mid-Missouri has really been able to compete with Elias the last couple of years. But, I mean, besides them, they've been able to really kind of compete with everybody this year. I mean, you look back at that Rockridge game, and now it's kind of a game that you kind of want back if you're the Jays.
Right, right.
I mean, they were in that game, and it was just a couple of turnovers on handoffs that really sunk them. And so now they can kind of go into the next couple of years. As long as they can keep that offense moving the way it is, I mean, there's no reason why they can't compete with Rockridge or Battle again next year.
Okay, so one of the other things I was also planning on talking to you about is how the J schedule can be, I mean, obviously broken into thirds. Mm. And the thing is, it was almost a repeat of history, because if you take a look at the past 2 years, they lost the first three games of the season, and then they won the next three, so they're 3-3 heading into that Elias game, which has been a loss the last 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, last year they went 0-3 in those last three games to go 3-6. You have a losing streak of three, win streak of three, losing streak of three, and almost looked like Jeff City was going down that same path this year. How much, I mean, in regards to team morale, how big was that to get a win? Because, a lot of teams might shut down and after that Elias loss, because I know they had a lot of optimism going into that and it didn't quite work out.
Yeah.
But now you have a win, and just like that, week nine looks winnable, and you have a chance to finish the regular season with a winning record.
Yeah, I mean, it is really big. I mean, just for them to just have kind of some just resiliency, frankly, for this was the biggest and most like concrete case of the team having resiliency all season was probably this game against Battle. And that's kind of was the biggest thing for them. And that extended throughout the whole week. I mean, the Elias game, kind of their whole season kind of built up to that being 3-3. You think, okay, this is our shot at them. We have a better shot at them than we've had the last year or the last couple of seasons, even though they didn't play them. But and then the game kind of went about as badly as you would kind of hope if you're Jeff City. And so they were able to be like, you know what, okay. They bounced back and they played. I mean, their offense played really well after having a rough week. And, you know, I know their defense gave up a lot of points, but they also got some stops. And, I mean, they really played about as well as you could have hoped against a Battle team that's pretty talented.
Well, not only that, but this was big for their offense. I mean, anytime you put 55 points is huge. But to me, what's impressive about the Jays is they have two 1,000-yard rushers now with David Bethune and Kevion Pendleton. Kevion Pendleton, who had 300-plus yards and 7 touchdowns against Battle. And to my understanding, I mean, obviously different players, but my understanding is Battle tried to play a similar defense or had a similar look to what Elias did.
Yeah.
So, how big is that for the offense, knowing that they saw two similar defensive looks? It didn't work out the first time, but it really worked out the second time.
Yeah, I mean, the offensive line looks completely different. I mean, that also is kind of a credit to just Elias' defensive front as well, but they were able to get a good push. I mean, a lot of Pendleton's goal line scores, you know, the offensive line was pushing Battle a couple yards deep in the end zone, and Pendleton was just walking in. I mean, they really did a good job. They had a lot of guards pulling and were able to really kind of get the push off the line that they needed, that they didn't really have against Battle. And Battle is basically, they're having a lot of down linemen kind of playing wide because they didn't really want Bethune to beat them. And so they're like, okay, anybody else can beat us. And then, I mean, Pendleton, you kind of saw by the stats, he was the one who kind of beat them then with that offensive line and that run up the middle. And so them just having those two kind of big options to run the ball in different ways with a run-heavy offense, that's kind of what that's exactly what they need to be successful, is having players able to get kind of runs out wide and players able to kind of run up the middle to kind of stretch the defense.
Okay, and I know I'll try to wrap this up really quick. I know we've already talked a lot about last week's game, but, you know, it's justifiable to me. The 52 points allowed. I mean, I know Battle's very, I mean, they started the year state-ranked. They have athletes. I mean, is there any concern at all, or is that a game where going? I mean, you know what? If it's going to be a shootout, just find a way to win it.
I mean, there is a little bit because they were able to get some stops early.
Okay.
And I think they would mostly just be with big plays. I mean, they were generally okay against some runs on first down, but they had some plays where they missed tackles or some coverages where you're on to a guy, and then you kind of just miss a ball in the air, and then a guy catches it and runs. And there were just some things that kind of showed, like, this is just kind of a young unit, and they have grown throughout the year, but there's just still things that it's just going to take time for the defense to really, really develop and kind of get to the way where it might need kind of in the future when they lose some offensive players. So, I mean, there was a little bit of a concern, definitely, but, I mean, the defense is still kind of, it's kind of been a work in progress all year, And okay. So it's kind of still where it stands, I guess.
All right. Okay, so let's now talk about the Jays game this week. They're back on the road. They're at Fort Zumwalt West. You know, they're 2-6 this season. They're coming off a 56-21 loss to Troy Buchanan. What can you tell us about this Fort Zumwalt West team?
Yeah, they also like to run the ball. Okay. They have Kyle Nunn, who's in the 1,000-yard rusher for them. He'll be the guy who gets a lot of the carries. And they can score some points. I mean, they play that Gateway Athletic Conference is pretty tough. It has, I mean, it's got Holt, it's got Francis Howell. And so they've also kind of had a tough schedule against big schools. But they're kind of similar to Jeff City, where in their losses they've given up a lot of points. And so I think that kind of lends to this game being a shootout because, I mean, they gave up 50-plus to Hannibal. In all their losses, they've given up 49 points or more. So they're a team that's kind of prone to giving up some points.
Oh, yeah. I'm taking a look here. In their two wins, they've given up 7 and 14. So, okay. So obviously, it sounds like you're thinking it's going to be toward the higher end.
Yeah.
I was going to say, but the thing is, I know Fort Zumwalt West is 2-6, but as you mentioned, I mean, I'm looking at their losses. I see 2-8-0 teams. I see 2-7-1 teams.
Yeah.
Do you think this is a game that they're like, okay, this is our time for us to show what we're capable? I mean, this is a team that's pretty close to our level. Like, do you think that's? I mean, this is a game where they might get really pumped up heading into.
Yeah, I mean, also anytime you're a Class 6 school hosting a Class 4 school, you kind of, especially one that has kind of been up and down like Jeff City, you would kind of, if you're them, you would kind of hope and think that you have a chance. But I think Jeff City is thinking the same thing. I mean, both these teams lost pretty handily to Hannibal, which, I mean, everybody's lost like that to Hannibal this year. But, I mean, yeah, I think it's going to be an evenly matched game. And both teams are pretty similar in sort of their kind of, when they win, it's when their defense has been able to play really well for the most part, with Jefferson City with the exception of that battle game. And so that'll kind of be the key, is which team is able to actually kind of get some resistance on the defensive side.
Is there anything that jumps out about Fort Zumwalt West or something that might pose as a problem for Jefferson City?
Yeah, I mean, their run game. I mean, Jeff City one of their biggest problems besides getting beat deep in coverage has been missing some tackles.
Okay.
And so against kind of running back who's able to kind of run in a couple different ways, outside or inside the tackles, that could kind of be a little bit of a problem if they're not able to tackle him and kind of limit big plays.
Okay, so I know we already talked about David Bethune and Kevion Pendleton, but you also have some news that there might be another player returning this week for the Jays?
Yeah, Will Berenson's going to return in some capacity. It's kind of unclear how. I mean, he's been out ever since week 3, and he was, I mean, before the Elias game and during practice, he's been practicing some long snapping, so I'm sure we'll see him in that capacity, but with the way Pendleton's played, quite honestly, in that fullback role, you know, it'd be hard to imagine Berenson just taking over fully for him. You know, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they split snaps, but we'll kind of see, and I imagine they'll kind of see how that plays out. I think the biggest thing, though, with getting Berenson back will just being able to have him in some sense as a linebacker on the defensive side, because he's really disciplined, and for a team that's missed some tackles and, you know, has a young linebacker group that has been kind of up and down, he'll be kind of a good addition back to that group.
Okay, obviously this is week 9. I mean, the last week of regular season, so a lot of people are focusing their attention on district standings this week. I'm taking a look at it right now. Jefferson City's got 39.91 points in Class 4 District 5. Obviously, I mean, it doesn't matter. Hannibal's the one because Hannibal won the head-to-head.
Yeah.
Kirksville has closed the gap a little bit. They're the number 3 seed right now with 34.94 points. Again, the math is kind of tough to figure out, but to me, I was gonna say, in your opinion, I mean, do you think Jeff City's got the 2 seed locked up no matter what, simply because they're gonna get double bonus points for playing up 2 classes, or do they need? I mean, would it help to also be Capital City fans this weekend and hope that the Cavaliers can get an upset win on the road?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to be Capital City fans a little bit because I think Kirksville's also gonna get a couple bonus points from playing Capital City too. Okay. I mean, not as many, but I think it's a situation where if the Jays keep this game close and Capitalist is able to keep the game against Kirksville close, I don't think you're too worried. But if it's a situation where, I mean, Jeff City gets blown out and Capitalist City gets blown out, that is kind of the only recipe for them to really close that gap. So, I mean, I don't think it's... I mean, Wells wasn't really concerned about it at all. He's not really... I mean, they're going to... he thinks that, I mean, they're going to probably play Kirksville no matter what. So, right. You know, it's not a huge deal. But I mean, you would, I think, especially just for guys to get healthy, kind of get that week in between. It is kind of good for them to get that bye.
Right, and that's right. The reason we bring this up is because, you know, the difference between the 2 seed and the 3 seed is the 2 seed would get that week 10 bye. The 3 seed would have to, they'd play at home week 10, but then they, I mean, they wouldn't get that week off. So I'll tell you what, let's really quick, let's look back at week 9. What's your prediction for tonight's game for the Jays?
Yeah, I think it'll be high scoring, but I think the defense, the Jays defense has been able to get timely turnovers. I mean, they got enough turnovers early to give them enough breathing room. Barely enough breathing room in that battle game. And I think they'll be able to do that again. I think it'll be 49-45, Jeff City.
All right. That'll do it for this week's podcast. For Anderson Kimball, I'm Greg Jackson saying thank you for listening.
For more information about this week's games, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following NT Sports on Twitter. Thanks for listening.